Just making sure everything is all working out. And by the way, if you're on the phone, you want to say hello, you'll feel free to press star 2. We'd love to hear from you. And for those on the webcast, all right, looks like, is that you, Nick?
Yeah.
Nice.
You couldn't hear me before?
No.
Oh, that's strange, because I'd been on for a while and I was just leading them through a bit of a breathing meditation there. And before your dramatic arrival, and then you couldn't hear me until I pressed star 2. So I wonder if Taylor's blocked a little bit.
Yeah, Taylor, if you're on, and we've just this hurricane thing has screwed up the numbers somehow. I don't know what's happened, but carry on then, bro. You might as well just continue what you were doing, but now people can hear you.
Okay, lovely. So, let's just drop in. Let's just connect. Remember what this is all about. This superhero training is allowing you to plug directly into this incredible presence, this spiritual presence in life, this amazing grace, the love of life, the holy presence, whatever you want to call it. It's there. And that's what we live for, is to plug into it, to commune with it, fundamentally to be one with it. It is our inner nature. We are made of the same stuff. And so let's just take a few breaths here and just drop in. Anyone that hasn't been practicing this, this is a good opportunity to sharpen your pencil. Soft, gentle, deep breaths. Let's just see how quickly we can really plug into the juice here. Just breathing softly and gently, just calming ourselves down. The slow, rhythmic breathing is medicine for balancing the central nervous system. Most of us are in a sympathetic dominant state, which is slightly agitated and anxious. So as we breathe this gentle, even breathing rhythm, it allows the parasympathetic to kick in, which is very calming. So we close our eyes and smile and look up within. We smile the golden inner smile. If we're not smiling, then we aren't able to connect with this great spiritual magnificence. It apparently requires an inner golden smile, a smiley face. And that gets the brain activated, the higher senses of the brain activated. Little secret there, when you see people meditating with a sad look on their faces or a serious look on their faces, you know that they're not quite plugging into what's available. So soft, gentle, deep breath, smiling, eyes closed, looking up within. And just dropping into the heart space, using the beauty of your tenderness, the beauty of your tenderness. We've all had, been banged around in this hustle and bustle of life, and the wounds are our strengths. Anyone that's had a little bit of a rough time, or has been feeling under pressure in their lives, or the odd one out, or whatever it is, any sense of sensitivity and being born out of woundedness or trial and tribulation is a good thing. And the spiritual warrior uses the beauty of that to connect through the heart intelligence to this holy presence, this whole spirit, this pure spiritual goodness that laps against the shores of our soul. So we can connect with that through the breath, through becoming more relaxed, through smiling, looking up within, and then dropping into this heart interface through love and gratitude and appreciation, using the beauty of our tenderness to reach out. And as we're breathing there, we just become very, very focused with burning intensity. That's our faith. Certainty, absolute certainty, knowingness,
And then focus that faith into an epicenter of focus, an epicenter of consciousness. And just hold that awareness with such tender, heartfelt beauty. As if you're holding a little fledgling bird in your heart space, or a tiny flower, or a newborn child, or something exquisitely precious to you. And literally use your heart intelligence like a cup, like a grail. Just holding yourself in a state of soul consciousness. And this is a most precious thing. Surrendering, trusting, letting go, allowing the love to flow into you, allowing the spiritual goodness to fill you, to fill that cup to overflowing. Put your hand on your heart if it's not already there and just give thanks. So there we are, just a little impromptu practice. Practice makes perfect. The wisdom that we share in superhero training and everything else that Michael and I and Taylor do and Michelle and anyone else who's involved in this our little group, the wisdom has to be practiced. And if we don't practice it, we don't enjoy the freedom. And if we do practice these very simple, easy things, then we do experience that freedom and that power and the magic and the, everything that goes with it. And if we don't practice, that simple, easy thing becomes very, very difficult, impossible, in fact. And that's where we get stuck. You see, so practice makes perfect. Practice all the time. And that's what being a superhero is. That's the difference between a spiritual warrior and an ordinary person. Very simple difference. An ordinary person may know about these things we're talking about, may know about meditation, may know about focus, may know about the spiritual presence, may know about lots of things we talk about in the training, but how much time do they spend practicing it? You see? That knowledge becomes wisdom through practice. And so it's the wisdom and the application through the practice gives us the freedom. It's a beautiful thing. Over to you, Michael. Yay. Thanks, Brother Nicholas. And I think we have Taylor on the phone. She's just gone in now. Is that right, Taylor?
Indeed, I'm here.
Fantastic. Taylor's been out there on the East Coast saving the day. Stopping the hurricane in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. Taylor, well done. That was pretty impressive.
Just another day in the day of a superhero.
Wonderful. So, love Taylor to share in a moment. We're just going to take a question, and then I'd love Taylor to share her experiences of the hurricane. And I'm sure some of you guys are on the East Coast. Taylor was there. And it just goes to show how volatile the world is and how important it is that we really practice these things, like Nick was just saying, because in those times of need, it's the ability to be detached and go beyond in a second and be able to experience a higher consciousness there and then in the moment that makes all the difference. And in many situations like these hurricanes, it might even save your life, literally. So it's good that you have these tools right now, because it's absolutely essential as time goes on, and who knows what's going to happen as 2013 comes to us. So I've got a question here from England, and the question is, it's mainly asked towards me. It says this question mainly for Michael, but not limited to. Michael, in the backwards planning audio, you briefly mentioned your own personal feelings about how our visions are premonitions of the future. To keep the audio focused, you don't digress much about this, and I was wondering if you could share a bit more about it here in the Q&A session. Is that possible? Aloha. So yeah, this is a very deep topic. I'm sure others have got something on this. In the backwards planning process, if you haven't got to that in the training already, basically that's a very powerful process that you can use to experience the visions and goals and dreams that you have as if they're already done, which you've probably already been doing, hopefully. And as you do that, you then imagine, okay, in order for me to have ended up here, what would I have done just before that? You know, what would have preceded that? And then you keep going back in increments of about 3 months until the present. So that way you're seeing it done and working backwards, which is a far deeper and more profound way of planning than starting where you are with what you know now and trying to work out how to get there. So if you've already done that, then I recommend you go back and do it again, because this sort of stuff is very profound. And if you haven't done it, then you've got something to look forward to. And Jake was asking about, you know, how does this make sense of it's a premonition? How are our visions premonitions? Because that's not something you hear very often, that when you are inspired to think of an idea or when you have goals and dreams and things you want to achieve, what I feel and what we show in the training is that they are actually premonitions of future events. They actually already exist in the future. And how I understand that personally is that the soul, everyone is a soul, everyone is a consciousness, the souls that we are have inside of us, like a seed contains the whole tree in the seed, in the same way the soul has inside of it all of these wonderful experiences that only show up at the right time. And so we're sensing what's next in the future. It's kind of like a tree kind of has an idea that it's going to start bearing fruit and grow more branches. They haven't happened yet, but the potential is already there, and it was already there from before the seed was even planted. But it doesn't all happen at once. Trees gradually get bigger and bigger and bigger. And in the same way, your life unfolds in a very magical, unlimited, and unusual, profound, and strange way. And when you get premonitions, they come to you in the form of ideas, visions, and things that, you know, inspire you to act. You know, why have you joined the training? Why do you have the ideas that you have? Why do you have certain goals and not other ones? Why are you excited about some things and not other things? Because it's already recorded in you to experience that. So this is very, very deep, deep, deep thing that I encourage you to go into more in your own meditations. And how you can use this is that you can really consider it to be signs that it is already accomplished, it is done, it is done, it is done. But that kind of level of certainty around your manifestations, and you can relax a bit. You know, you don't need to be anxious and stressed out. The fact that you're having these ideas is proof that it is already done. I remember having visions of being in some tropical, beautiful place where there's palm trees and mangoes and things like that, and I didn't really see quite how that was possible. And I didn't really know where the ideas were even coming from, but I've ended up here in Hawaii, and this is what I had seen in visions, but it didn't make any sense at all. You know, I'd had these visions for a long time, and I always felt happy where the mango trees grew, and we've got so many mangoes going off on the island now, no one knows what to do with them all. So, you know, these little signs that you're getting every day, all the time, they are premonitions. And you can rest assured and rest in peace and really like feel the comfort and confidence that your visions are going to map. So that's you know, a brief explanation about it. Hopefully that's useful. And if Nick and Taylor have anything to say about that, I'm sure it would be fascinating.
I'd love to say something and tie in a little bit as well with this storm energy that we're all just being shook up with as well. When we look at things from a quantum perspective, when we look at reality from entertaining the potential of infinite possibility, this is a wonderful thing to do, to contemplate infinity, and this is what we, you know, basically soul consciousness is all about, is being comfortable with the fact that there's an infinite potential inside of us. Infinite possibilities existing simultaneously. So from that perspective, past and future, what we perceive as the past and future, are really only other vibrational realities that are existing in other dimensions that we perceive as past and future. And so what we have the choice of doing, what we're basically training for in the superhero training, is to become a vibrational match with a wonderful possibility that already exists, and it's a possibility of a version of you living and experiencing a reality that you are, you know, in harmony with. Therefore, you're being inspired to pursue a certain path in life, like Mike was saying. Those recordings, those seed codings already exist in the soul. It's part of your destiny. It's part of your unique makeup to live this particular experience. And so you're drawn to these unique things. Like I'm drawn to certain things other people aren't drawn to. We all have our unique. So we're going to expand on this. Taylor and I are going to do a call in a little while and talk about more of these things in depth. But when it comes to shocking nature of what we've just experienced and still experiencing on the East Coast over there, I was just been following that whole thing every day and really fascinated by the power and the devastation of it. One of the the speculations is that because it was such a an extremely unusual movement for the storms coming up the eastern seaboard, the direction, the angle that it took, the direction that it went, extremely unusual. In fact, never happened before in the whole history since they've been monitoring those hurricanes and tropical storms coming up from the south there. This question, this bizarre speculation around, obviously, that the weather weapons had been used in this to ramp this thing up and to direct it along a certain path, the HAARP machinery. One of the tactics that the architects of control, the manipulators of the Matrix use, is they try and get a consensus reality going. They try and get as many people as possible believing in one version of reality. And that version of reality happens to be quite scary, full of war and limitation and lack and all kinds of stuff, and obviously, natural disasters. And so we are superheroes in this. It's good to know this and understand the playing fields are actually a lot bigger than we've been led to believe, and that if infinite possibilities actually do exist simultaneously, that it's very important that we are stable enough and focused enough in being able to hold these visions, nurture these this becoming of the individual that is capable of living these realities in an extremely focused way, the kind of focus that you would need to keep a very cool head in a storm such as what we just experienced. And we're going on to, we're being challenged to demonstrate powers. And I'll give you a little story here, a real true story of a friend of ours called Howard Wills, which we mention from time to time in the training and recommend his prayers as a strategy that supercharges your whole evolution, and also as a technology to investigate and understand how it works. Howard, in North Carolina one day, there was two twisters literally coming through town, ripping up houses, shredding houses, shredding huge buildings, taking the buildings and the debris up into their vortices. Two big twisters coming down the street, tornadoes, heading towards his family business, which was a mattress factory, rubber mattresses. Howard had, the whole place had been evacuated, and Howard and his daughter were the only two people there, and he told his daughter to get under this big desk, and he was there still, you know, intimidated by this situation, this scenario, until he made his mind up that this was not happening. This was definitely not. There was no way they could recover from this financially. It was just absolutely not the thing that they needed. So he went out into the street, and he said there were two twisters, one on each side of the street, shredding up the houses. And he put his hands up in the air, and he commanded these things to stop. And one of them immediately evaporated. And the other one picked up a tree. There were a large tree that was growing on the other side of the road, ripped it out of the ground by its roots, took this tree up into its vortex, and then laid it down very, very softly across the front of Howard's Mercedes car, not on it, but in front of it. Just laid it down very, very softly in front of the bonnet of this car. And then that evaporated and disappeared as well. Completely gone. That was Howard Wills. One of many, 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 many stories that Howard has that are seemingly miraculous to us. I myself have plenty of stories about nature and my experiences with nature. Point is, we already told you that the playing fields have changed, that the game has changed. We've already told you that in Superior Training. The update on that, just this last few days, is that the whole thing's just the demonstration of the power that you are being called to demonstrate in terms of the opposite to what was demonstrated in Sandy, but the same amount, the same degree of power in terms of your calmness, in terms of your ability to hold your center and vision of the reality that you are calling forth, that what you need to be rooted in is an incredible strength of character and individuality. And like Mike was saying at the beginning, in case you don't make the connection between why what we're teaching you and sharing with you this wisdom is so important and becoming increasingly relevant, and the how that relates to these immediate current affairs, in case you haven't put those two things together, I just wanted to help you get that. Because nature is a reflection of your inner nature. And these times we are in, we can guarantee that there's going to be more of the same of these kind of scenarios. And so we want to be inspired by this and not be frightened by it. And Taylor's right over there in the thick of it all and has been all the time. And I'm sure she's got something to say about this as well.
Yeah, that's a very useful story, the Howard Will story. And, yeah, you know, it's interesting, this there's a lot I could say about the current and past situation here, but I see one of the superheroes, I guess it was Jake once again, asked the question of what could be inspiring from this whole situation, and certainly what Nick just shared. You'll see his question is, I've been following the news objectively regarding Hurricane Sandy. I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts from a superhero perspective. For example, is this a sign of a big shift or cleansing going on? I mean this in the happiest way possible, with love, Jake. Well, certainly Nick just shared some inspiring realities on how to hold anything like this, and these are unusual times we are living in, and you know, it is a challenge when you're in the direct line of a hurricane to not go into fear, and the more contracted space of being. And yeah, at the same time, if one looks at it, to any of these situations, as what's the bigger opportunity, what's the bigger flow, even if it is, you know, as Nick intimated, a created phenomenon, not necessarily a natural one, but a created one, or let's say a natural one with the help of maybe some other technology at hand. The point is that the most powerful place to shift or stand in is what is the biggest possibility, what is the biggest flow, or what is the biggest space to dwell in and hold. And, you know, it reminds me of the, around, I think this time last year, I don't know when it was, but it was heating up, this huge swine flu scare was heating up, and it was getting intense. I mean, I was getting no less than, you know, 100 or so emails every day about mandatory evacuations, and this and that, and this is all going to happen, and everyone's going to die. And, you know, people were calling me, their kids were being forced to be vaccinated or not be in school, and it was getting so intense that at one point I decided, hey, hold on a minute. You know, similar to Howard Will's story Nick shared, just like, wait a minute. This has got to stop. You know, first of all, I was getting sick of it. My emails were getting filled up with this stuff. And it was taking an enormous amount of energy and focus to deal with the level of fear and everything that, you know, I noticed when I just felt into it, people were so organized around it that it was actually creating a whole vortex in and of itself. Beyond what was already happening, there was this then whole new level of mass consciousness and energy that was creating something, you know, in addition to that. And you know, what I just saw there was to do, and so we got together with some other light workers, was just to put a stop to the whole entire thing. We just had to pull the plug out energetically of all that energy that was amassing toward the fear of the vaccination, of the virus, all of it. Just pull it out. And so we all got together, and we just, you know, collectively decided this is it on this whole thing being an issue. And we did a global meditation whereby we envisioned all of the serum in every vaccination on the planet turning to holy water. Just like that. Just like that. Just because we said so. And just boom, it was like it was done. It was all done. It all happened in an instant. And after that, the whole thing completely disappeared. It vanished as an issue. you know, there was still those, you know, Eckerd Drugs advertising to get your flu shots and, you know, saying it was a good idea. But the whole thing, as an issue, as an email, you know, epidemic, was gone by the end of that week. Gone. It vanished from the planet as a concern. And so there's no question that we have a say. We all are one. We have a say in everything. We have a say in everything. And, you know, I found it interesting when I heard about this hurricane, because, you know, I don't watch the news. So I didn't really know. I knew something was coming because I could just tell. I mean, I could barely find myself at peace energetically. I could hardly sleep. And so I knew something was afoot, but, you know, I've been feeling like that a lot lately. And so then I found out that, yes, in fact, a hurricane was coming, and we were in its target. And it was interesting because when you looked at the map, it just happened to end at Pittsburgh. Nothing ends at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's never on the map. I mean, it was this random configuration of a storm. But I decided there was probably a good reason for that. And, you know, it was just a good time to take on the mission of you just seeing that as one big vortex of energy that was going to need to be managed for the least possible impact there was. And that was just the mission, you know, and I took it on. Now, you know, a lot of things happened in that earthquake or that situation there, but overall, for the intensity of what occurred, and I don't know if you've seen satellite shots of this, but this thing was massive. You know, overall, there was very little loss of life. There was certainly loss of and damage of this, that, or the other thing, and subways are flooded, and that's a whole other story. But overall, one could say a miraculous outcome of very little loss of life. And a lot of things, interestingly, are occurring that are massively inspiring as a result of it. You know, if one looks at it, the energy, just from an energy perspective, that you have this city, one of the most, you know, intense concentrations of population in the United States, a very, very young, a very young composition of energy, then and then having this seawater come in, and on a full moon, extremely feminine, and not only just come in, but go into the subway system, which is like the subconscious. You know, if New York City was a building, it would be the basement. And the basement is the subconscious of any house. And it had this massive cleansing of the subconscious, bringing to the surface everything in that part. And then what's going to be required for the subway station to even work again is enormous amount of attention to detail, or bringing consciousness to detail. I mean, like scrubbing little screws of, you know, cleaning little lines of salt water. And that's an enormous amount of consciousness or light that's being brought to the subconscious. I mean, that's another way you could look at it energetically. And all spiritual evolution is about is bringing consciousness to that which is unconscious. So a lot is happening. An enormous amount is happening on multiple levels with this situation. And you know, I'm still whirling in the whole effect of it, but I encourage all of you, and, you know, I'm still dealing with people that have no power, probably aren't going to have power for weeks. But the key is to look at the biggest possible perspective and hold that vision, no matter what's occurring and how it's occurring or even how it was created, doesn't really matter. What really matters is that we're able to shift outcomes on global scales instantly. And our collective consciousness is enormous. You know, and it's it all. There's so many things happening right now. The election, you know, Proposition 37. There's all these big, huge global shifts, things that are, you know, enormous industries at stake, enormous infrastructures on the planet at stake. So we're at an exciting time to be able to shift outcomes just by virtue of our collective consciousness and the intention and the prayers that we hold. You know, one prayer can cancel out millions of other possibilities. So I just really, what I'm moved by is not only the magnitude and power of nature. You know, that's so inspiring to me to witness the power and grace of nature, but also the power of humanity. You know, I mean, I was just listening to Governor the New York City mayor saying how, you know, look now's the time to get to know your neighbors. Like, go upstairs if you live in the apartment building and knock on all the doors and see can they get out of their apartment? Do they need anything? Can you go get them something? Maybe they're 82 years old and they don't have any heat. Whatever it is, like, now's the time to find out everyone that lives in your building, to come together. And I mean, this is like, yeah, that's exciting. And if what it takes is this kind of thing, you know, to have people like, whoa, maybe I didn't really ever think about like where food came from or that electricity was not a given, you know, like that's important. That's important. And it's consistent with what's occurring on the planet, which is these old structures breaking down, literally breaking down and being cleansed and washed away. And let's look to see what's coming up as a result of that. Like, what's it growing? What's it cultivating now? And so, there's just a lot of levels of enormous inspiration available in this opportunity.
Huge. And I really want to emphasize just the power. Nature is a reflection of our inner nature. All of this power is in the soul. It already exists in there. And so as we practice more and more and more of these wonderful superhero strategies that we suggest and encourage you to do, you stabilize, and it's your peace power that does it all. The whirling, disturbed forces, which are forces of destruction when nature is behaving in this way. And we talk about this in the training about the Vinash forces. This is an old Sanskrit word that refers to natural forces that will rise from within nature, within our realities, and they will destroy all forms that are not in harmony with the spirit of life. It's a pre-programmed fail-safe mechanism that life has within it that prevents disharmonious realities from perpetuating themselves forever. And so this is a good demonstration of this. But these forces of nature are a reflection of what we have inside in our inner nature. So you wonder why the spiritual process is intense from time to time. Well, you're getting a good mirror to look into of the power that you're dealing with inside of yourself. Tremendous, unimaginable forces of extraordinary potency. And so if we can stabilize and purify and sit within that wonderful center of perfect equanimity and beingness, and our soul matrix is cleansed of all of its discordant vibrations and disharmonies and toxicity, then our whole field can hum with maximum human potential without any destructive negatively destructive effects. All of the distortions that are in the manifest world, all of the government lies, the manifestations of evil, the disharmony, the toxicity, all of the things that appall and are abhorrent to good-hearted people are all going away. They're all surfacing, and we're witnessing through these great revelations. They're all being processed and purified, and we are playing a huge part in this. This is a real keynote of what Taylor was saying that I really want to emphasize. Just because you might be a quiet sort of a person who doesn't really appear to be, shaking up the world in any great dramatic way, doesn't mean that you're not affecting it in an extremely real and definite way. And this is something, a penny really has to drop with this. Like Taylor was saying about the vaccines and stuff, well, this holding this vision, so we were talking about before, the portents, the premonitions and the visions, holding these visions, holding your heart and your emotional body, your psyche, in accordance with these things, in harmony with these visions and these soul drives, despite the appearance of reality to the contrary. This is a very, very, very important skill to develop. That's why we emphasize the inner game so much. And the outcome of this will be the manifestation of the visions that we're holding, the vibrational states we're existing in. The outcome will be the manifestation of that in the outside world around us. Our reality will literally shift according to these vibrational states that we're maintaining day after day after day after day after day. And of course, this great moment of possibility, or this new chapter of possibility, or this new season of extraordinary possibility, is the epicenter of that is getting closer and closer and closer to us. We've heard about the 2012 for a long time. We've heard about December the 21st and 12/12/12, and now we're appreciating, as we're hearing the deeper truths from the Mayans, the Hopi Indians, and all kinds of other indigenous cultures and individuals that have insight into these things, that the window is opening, the door is opening, the portal is opening at this time, and a great new possibility is being presented. And we are seeding that now. What's going to grow in that garden is the seed visions that supported by your vibrational state that you're holding today. And of course, the powers that be know this. So they're turning up the heat with the chaos, with the fear, with all of the triggers to disturb you and get you reacting to this particular manifestation of infinite possibility, you see? You want everyone looking at life their way, ideally anxious, confused, frightened, running all over the place like headless chickens, not knowing what to do, you see? It's a game. It's a wonderful game. But the power of the game and what's at stake are becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. And superheroes should take this as motivation to deepen their practice, to accept and appreciate and embrace the power that they are, that they have within themselves, has been reflected by nature in this case. and used this as more determination to turn up the heat with the nizchay, the burning, intense focus, and your commitment to your living your life purpose and fulfilling your mission in life. And just going forward, just committing and going forward, holding that vision with increasing determination and commitment and tenacity. And if you do that, all of these things are nourishment for us. We can transmute any manifestation, any life situation into a positive, beneficial thing. And there may well be a cathartic moment, you know, if people are dying or, you know, whatever it is, destruction of old forms, of course it's going to trigger catharsis as the old patterns and belief systems and structures die, and we feel that emotionally. But as long as we're steadfast and true, we can transmute these things very, very quickly. And this, the urgency is on. Time is getting short. We are being required to integrate these things incredibly swiftly. The energies that are coming in, Taylor's very tuned to this. The energies that are coming in are so overwhelmingly powerful now. There's hardly any time to, you know, get into much of a flap about stuff, because you've really got to integrate, and it's like, now here's the next thing. And we've been talking about this for a long time, especially as we get closer and closer to this 2012 date and these great node points of intense energy that are sufficient to transform the direction of humanity, the destiny of humanity. At the beginning of the cycle, they used to come in, with centuries and centuries and centuries between them. Now they're coming in almost weekly, daily, and hour by hour, new waves are coming in. So it's all about being able to deal with the power, being able to deal with the juice, and you've got the perfect tools in your toolbox to do it.
Yeah, and that's a critical point there does need to be that level of flow of fluidity in our multidimensional being. You know, like a palm tree almost. You know, it's like the palm trees in a storm, they can go almost exactly flat. I've seen them go almost exactly flat to the ground, and then boom, you know, they spring back up. And we've got to be able to create our multidimensional beings, our spiritual, emotional, mental, physical beings, to have that much resilience and flexibility with any storm, to be able to just flow with it, to be able to have that much movement in our systems where we don't get stuck or rigid or contracted. And that's the key, and because it is coming like that. I mean, it's amazing. I'm already ready. I'm already organizing for the next flow. Like, I already feel like, all right, well, we made it through that one. Okay, all right, let's bring it on. Like, what's next? Like, I can already feel, even before this one was gone, the next one was already setting up. So, and if anyone's, you know, you'll feel, and I'm sure everyone's feeling that. So the key is to be able to get bigger, get way bigger, and like Nick is saying, have the capacity to ride the higher flows that you're creating, that you're connected to. You know, animals have this. You know, they aren't fretting around. They're just like, all right, well, time to go to higher ground. You know, this is looking like I should go here. And that level of just intuitive feeling into and knowingness, we all have. And the only thing that distracts us from that is fear. And that's it. That's the only thing. And so, that is the task of the superhero. There's no better training, program, opportunity, and group of people to surround yourself with for support and inspiration, really, in these times than this.
powerful.
We've got no choice but to evolve in the end. And just in essence, I like to come back to this statement that I surrender to the highest good of all. I surrender to the highest good of all. That just kills the ego's opinions about everything and allows us to, you know, do whatever we need to do in any situation. And that's why all these things are happening, to wake us up and force us to change quickly. So if we just come from that place of surrendering to begin with, it makes it, you know, a million times easier. So yeah, I think none of us should take this stuff lightly, because it's going to continue. We've been lucky here in Hawaii so far, but I do expect there's going to sooner or later be some mass tsunami or something happen. You know, we'll see, and I think just holding, being, as long as we're open to change, we don't need crazy stuff to happen to us. But if we're not, we're going to get a serious kicking. So we've got a couple of questions, just want to bring it up so we don't go over the call too long. This is from Daniel in Brisbane, Australia, I think. Hi, Nick, Michael and Taylor. I'd love to wake up with the sun every day, be outside, swim, meditate. Right now I live in a city and my work schedule is all over the place. I may have an early morning start, like 5 a.m., or a broken shift spanning 12 hours with a big break in the middle. Other times I may work at night. None of these are ideal, and the job only serves as a transition. I'm having trouble sorting out the basics, planning and preparing what I eat, for example. I feel as though I'm always short of time. Often, the need for sleep wins over the desire for meditation, etc. Can I find a balance in such an environment? Great question, wouldn't you say? Who wants to take that one? I'll just mention a few words quickly and you guys can share. In those kind of situations, I mean, I remember working 12-hour shifts for one point in my life. And when you're working, and you get like 8 hours and then you're back at work again, that really is not the ideal situation. And you know that. So I think in those situations, it's a matter of get out there as quickly as you can and do something else, which I'm sure you have a plan for. And in the meantime, you can listen to the audios, listen to meditations on your way to work with your headset, so you're getting good information in your consciousness. You might be able to listen to audios and things while you're at work as well, depending on what you do. And I would just focus on making sure that you eat properly and that you get enough sleep and that you give at least 15 to 35, 40 minutes meditation and visioning every day of what do you want, what is the vision, and keep experiencing the joy of being free of that situation and the joy of doing what you love while you're at work and you know, with conscious practice in the morning, just 10, 15 minutes of just really going into it, and then remind yourself of that experience throughout the day so that every day you're actually in your awareness feeling that you are in this new situation that you want to get into. And just write it out like that, because these situations are crazy. And if you get days, I know when people work these crazy shifts, they sometimes get like 2 days off in between, and then they work, and then they get a big break. So when you do get more time, I would recommend you go and do something totally different. Go out into nature, spend a whole day doing something completely different to rewire yourself and catch up on the things that you need to. But really, just really plan those days off so that you can get the most and really enjoy yourself, so that you can completely disengage And then when you come back to whatever you're doing at work, you feel refreshed. So there's just a few pointers that will allow you to have a higher level of consciousness, to keep your spirits high, keep manifesting the new stuff, keep yourself, your blood sugar level high and your ability to function properly, up to standard, and just enjoy what you've got. Do you guys have anything to share, Daniel?
Yes, well, I would just add to that that, you know, I believe it's Abraham who says 17 seconds of visualizing is equivalent to 2,000 hours of work or meditation, one could say. And so, you know, like Mike was saying, even if you can find, you know, probably you could find 10 to 15 minutes or 17 seconds to devote to visualizing what it is you do want, this waking up with the sun, you know, and really feeling it and living it in your feeling state, because it's in the feeling state that manifestation occurs. So, and of course, the visualizing, feeling it will be very powerful. And to really look at what you can do to replenish yourself when you can, whether it's a massage or, like Michael saying, you know, getting, submerging yourself in nature. But I would put a real clear time line for yourself as to when you're going to be out of that situation. I would just make up a deadline, because, you know, otherwise, who knows? But I would create a self-imposed deadline that it's by this time you will no longer be in this job, and you know you may not be in that ideal situation, but you'll be out of this situation and moving in the, on the next step forward. You'll be taking the next step, and I would encourage you to do that fairly soon. Create some real radical timelines that occur to you perhaps as even unreasonable and not even making any sense whatsoever, and then start organizing yourself around that. And miracles happen. You know, until one is committed, there is hesitancy. Commit yourself to those timelines and then keep them. And let everyone know, you know, tell everyone, you know, that by X time you're, you know, whatever. Just that's what you're doing. That's the future you're creating for yourself because you said so. Miracles can happen in that very practice.
Yay. Well, we got other questions about Hurricane Sandy, but I think we've already answered those. You know, ultimately our perspective is that everything that happens is beneficial on some other level than is obvious. So nothing that happens is random, and nothing is like terrible situation. There's always some hidden benefits. And our job as superheroes is to be able to tap into those benefits, tap into the hidden gold, the hidden juice, the hidden magic, the hidden power in these things, and take advantage of it. You know, like one of the good things of when disasters happen is people actually take things far more seriously and start making serious changes and doing trainings like this that are going to completely change their life. Whereas if everyone thinks, oh, it's just going to carry on, and then they realize they have to make a change, it snaps them into action. So that's very, very helpful for everyone, because we need people to start making that shift. And so if it needs to be a hurricane and everyone loses their electricity, for a while to get them to make the change, then that's good news because they end up happier than they were before. So it might be unpleasant for a few months or just a few weeks, but it ended up completely changing their life. So we just always want to look into things from a point of view of how is this somehow beneficial? What am I learning from this? That even if you get sick, tired, lose money, lose relationships, what is the benefit? How can this be somehow part of your evolution? If you hold that vision, that awareness, it really completely changes your life because there's always something good happening.
I think you were breaking up there a little bit, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't think that was me, but...
Okay. I want to add on to what you're saying there, because, you know, if you look at that, this area is one of the most densely populated areas in the country where this occurred. And a wide margin of land is encompassed here. And again, most of those people are still without power and probably will be for quite some time. And it's what Michael's saying is so accurate that there's now not only are people starting to be extremely grateful for, like, perhaps things they took for granted before, like heat, food, you know, water, you know, the basics, but you know, their priorities are shifting. That's a big, huge swath of consciousness there. And that's no little happening. You know, that's a big deal. I find that it is interesting because it's not, you know, it's not horrific. There's not like this massive death that's occurring of life, but it's certainly a death of certain things. And those things are all coming up to question anyways. Can we really sustain at the rate we were going? You know, people can't get gas for their cars. They can't get juice for their iPhones. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, it's a fundamental upset not to have their iPhone work. I can assure you. I mean, I've seen them, you know, and so this is a real awakening and reshuffling of what people's focus is on, and that's huge. Those are huge shifts that are occurring just in that amount of mass consciousness there in that whole big swath of territory. You know, millions of people are involved, millions.
Yeah, it's a great thing, you know, because we, you know, this is something that I think we all can benefit from, which is to look at our lives and just think, well, if you've got something to eat and you've got somewhere to sleep and you have hot water, you know, you're blessed, you know, you're alive, hooray, you know. That's huge.
I think you're in perhaps the 10th percentile of the world's population. I think I read that somewhere. There's these great statistics, like if you have a roof over your head, you know, you're in the top, you know, 5th percentile of the world. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like,
yeah,
you don't even have that perspective.
Yeah, and then on top of that, things like electricity and, you know, modern conveniences like washing machine, tumble dryer, oven, gas stove, these basic things everyone has, they're huge upgrades compared to most people's lives. So if you can go in the kitchen, turn on the stove and make something to eat, and you have a fridge, and you can go and put your clothes in a washing machine, and they come out nice and dry, and you put them in a tumble dryer, and, you know, your whole, like, washing thing is taking you you know, like 10, 15 minutes rather than like a day's work. I remember being in India having to wash my own clothes. It's a whole day. You literally have to spend the entire day washing clothes. It's a hard thing to do. And then the next day you have to go to the market. It takes a whole day just to go to the market and get food and drive around and take care of everything. These are like real missions. That's 2 days gone just on washing clothes and going to the market. We don't deal with that over here. So we have all this spare time. We can read books. We can talk to people. We can meditate. We can play music, listen to music. Something went horribly wrong where technology made us have this sense that time is running out, you know. And I remember this was a quote from one of these, I can't remember who it was from, but someone who was into the technology, promoting technology and, you know, how the future will be better with more technology. And one of the things that he said was that no one anticipated that all this technology would lead us to a feeling that there's never enough time. Everyone thought that the technology would allow them to feel that there's more time and that everything is easier. No one expected that it would be the opposite. Now everyone's on their iPhones, looking at their phone. You know, if you go out anywhere, you just look around, everyone is looking down into their hand with their iPhone nowadays. So people are not even enjoying basic things anymore. So I think it's really essential for us as superheroes to get over the madness and to appreciate the wonders of life for what they are right now, you know. And it's such a blessing when the electricity goes out because people have to be more creative and do something else, you know. Obviously, it's not very nice when it's cold, but it does bring us into some higher awareness of being alive. And, you know, the essential message I feel we're conveying here is that if we change now, we don't have to have crazy things happen to us. And if they do, they won't affect us, you know. So take the benefit from the hurricane. Or I'm taking the benefit from the hurricane and appreciating everything on a massive level, even though I'm thousands of miles away and I don't have any actual direct connection with it physically. I can still learn the lesson, take the benefit. So it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter how bad you were hit by the hurricane. Take the benefit from it so that your life becomes infinitely richer from today. Yay. Any last words, Taylor?
Well, that's just a beautiful thing, what you just said. And it's so true. I have noticed that myself, that, you know, when I leave the house and I, like, I've just sat sometimes in the car looking out, it's shocking that people are not looking up anymore even. They're just looking down into their iPhone. And, some kind of smartphone. I don't mean to plug iPhones here. These are miraculous times that we're in. It's so rich. The opportunities and the potential is just limitless at each moment, at each turn, at each conversation that we have. And, you know, I'm really seeing that now. I'm inspired. Every single person, you know, I've been reaching out to and talking and supporting, you know, I mean, the other day this mother called me and she said, yeah, you know, we're all up here, you know, the kids are, you know, we're all doing well. She's, you know, like a single mother, 3 kids, no electricity. And I said, well, you know, how are the kids doing? She said, well, they've all decided that they're hoping the power never comes back on again, because they said that they've never seen me so relaxed. They didn't know. They're now actually discovering who their mother is. And, you know, so like what you're saying is so true. There's this way that our technology has actually separated us from who we are and from nature and from each other. I mean, I know office buildings where they actually text from cubicle to cubicle instead of getting up and standing up and talking over the barrier wall. This is quite common. And so it really is an opportunity for us to re-examine what our priorities are and what our focus is and how we are using our time and energy. And how can we contribute to the shifts that are occurring and wanting to occur? And, you know, just really just celebrate the expansion and evolution that's going on. I mean, it's just enormous right now. The richness of possibilities, shocking for me. I just sometimes sit down and just, I mean, all of it. And I'm also just in awe of who human beings are, of just the magnitude of the human spirit and heart is just, it's just, you know, I don't really even have words to describe it, but it seems to be that in these kind of circumstances, that's what comes to the forefront. And so like Michael's saying, you know, let's just have that be in the forefront anyhow, leading the way so that these circumstances aren't required.
Absolutely. So, you know, learn the lesson now. Talk to people. And it's essentially what it comes down to, the essence is there's a natural flow of the universe. We're naturally meant to be living in wonder, living in magic, living in a sense of gratitude, appreciation, and in harmony with nature and in harmony with ourselves. And if we're not, we need natural calamities to come and bring us back into balance, because it's just nature's way. So each one of us has the ability to come back into that harmony ourselves, which is what superhero training is specifically teaching you to do. All the methods, protocols are bringing you back into balance. And then even if crazy things are happening around you, you won't be affected. And in fact, you'll probably be more relaxed than ever, like Taylor is.
There you have it.
Yeah, there we have it. So we love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a superhero and showing up. And just really remember that what you do is not just beneficial for you. It's also very powerful for everyone around you. And we've had a lot of people who've done the training, and people see that they're different than they used to be, and that now they're becoming inspiring for others. So just recognize that you are a beacon of light, a shining lighthouse for people who are lost in their lives, and they're going to look to you, and you are providing visions and hope and support on many levels that you might not even be aware of, and you're doing it already. Guaranteed you're already doing it, and more people are going to come to you in the future and ask you for support and advice, and just to help them by being who you are. You don't even have to do anything. So just understand the power that you have and how important it is that you take this seriously and really apply it, because it's going to affect your family, your friends, and it's going to affect all kinds of other things as time goes on. So this is kind of our secret reason for doing the superhero trainings, that we want to empower people like you, that when crazy things do happen, you're one of those people that can show up and help others in a situation where there's trauma and crisis going on all around. You'll actually be the calm, strong support in that situation. So just understand this is something that you're going to actually show up for, and I'm sure you already are, so congratulations. Take it all in deep, and we're looking forward to talking to you next time. Feel free to ask us any questions at all. We love your questions. If you have never asked a question so far, start asking us questions now for the next session. We really look forward to connecting with you and talk to you soon. Aloha.